Right, number seven, hello, and I follow from mouth. Okay, now I couldn't find my English Gemara. I don't know what happened to it. I misplaced it. I have the Hebrew one here, but
I would like to have this one here. Oh, there's one here. I was going to say, do I have to announce the page?
This is good because this way I can say the translation of the grains without having to break my head. Okay.
Millet and rice.
Okay. No, you don't have to. And we don't want you to return it, actually, because we have too many of them as it is. Chamisha Dvarim Chayavim B'Challah. There's five different types of grains that are Chayavim B'Challah. Hachitim, wheat, sarim, barley, kusman, spelt, shvelas, shawl, oats, shifon, rye. Harayel Chayavim B'Challah. These are Chayavim B'Challah, or mitstarfen ze'em ze'em, and they are mitstarf one with another. So Mepharshim explained, when this says that they're mitzaref, it means that if you made one challah out of multiple grains, they will be mitzaref one with the other. However, if you made one out of, if you made one challah out of wheat, which was less than the shear, and one challah out of spelt less than the shear, and they just simply touched each other, that would not be mitzaref.
I'm assuming, yeah, that the Gemara is going to later explain, well, why you have to tell me this, because wouldn't I know this, because this makes bread and other things don't make bread?
Other things, I mean, other grains? Well, we're going to see why in a second. But the Chiddush, and I just told you, that is not self-evident at all. Asurim b'chol shnei ha-pasach. By the way, the Gra, if you look at over here on the bottom, he brings down all the rules. Oison chamisha minim chalukim mishar minim in chamisha dvarim. That is to say, there are five things in chala, chadash, chametz, matzah, and noedim and adogan. So that means all these things are included in these five grains. It's interesting that it's five on five. Shlocha chilukim liyim bracha, and it's also three of them are, as far as bracha is concerned, different. The height of zaynus, you make shalosh, you make alamichia. I might see the shalosh brachas, the masapasa, or otherwise if you made bread. So the Gra really lays out all the halachas in which these things are different than everything else. Okay? Now, basurim b'chol shnei pasach, you can't eat them before pasach, meaning after, you can't eat them before. Let's just read this statement first. When we lick tzarm lefnei omer, and to cut them before the omer. Now this girsa is a little strange, because chodesh is not something which becomes mutter once Pesach begins. Chodesh becomes mutter the second day of Pesach, after the hakrovas haomer. So why does it say that it's also on chodesh before Pesach, and it's also to cut before the omer? Really, it should be the other way around. It should say Asurim b'chadash lefnei ha'omer, and milikzar lefnei ha'pesach, because the first day of Pesach, you're anyway not going to be able to cut it because it's Yom Tov. That would have been a bad gersa. So there are those who talk about gersa the other way around, but bottom line, it does no difference between all the gersos. There's no nakamil halacha. We all know the din. Now, the rule is here, just in case you didn't realize it, that number five, size, besides the prohibition against eating new grain, there's also an isser to cut barley before the barley that will be used for the omer is cut on the night of the 16th of Nisan. Okay, so then again, so we're talking about the second day of Pesach at night. They'll go out, cut the barley for the omer that will be brought the next day. Before they do that cutting, you can't cut barley for plain purposes, right? That's called the, because it says in the pasuk, "Reishis Ketzirchem," that the barley which is brought for the omer is the first of your cutting. So we learn from that that you can't cut anything else. So in case you didn't realize that, it's not a well-known halacha. Anyway, ha'omer mati, I'm sorry. And if they took root before the Omer, this is a din of Kaddish in general. What type of grain is Kaddish being Matir? That'll be if it took root. Usually we say that's planted 3 days minimum before Pesach. Omer matir, and then the Omer will be matir. Those him lav, if it doesn't take a root, if it hasn't taken root, asur not shiavu haomer abad, then it'll be also the entire year, right? So you could have something planted on 2 days before Pesach, but since it hasn't taken root yet, the Omer won't be matiret, and it'll be asur as chadash entire year until the following year. Okay.
Am I missing something? What's the tushda between the first part of the mission and the second part of the mission? And how do we go from the 5 grains of challah and we pivot to a detail about chadash?
It's quite a big pivot. It's asurin b'chadash on Ne'ah Pesach. That these 5 grains are all asur because of chadash. So we mentioned chadash. It's not like it hasn't been mentioned. Are you upset even with the statement asurin b'chadash on Ne'ah Pesach? Does that bother you?
I mean, in other words, we're talking about the 5 grains. Let me tell you other halachas about the 5 grains.
Uh-huh.
It's not a chal mishnah. It's a 5 grain mishnah.
Right. Okay. The Gra threw in some other halachas too, right? Okay. Chamisha dvarim chayvim b'chalom. So what does it say? Ksiv. Now, let's pay close attention to these drushas that we're about to say, because these will come up again and again and again. So make sure you get these drushas down.
There are only two psukim, and the chalom psukim.
But that doesn't matter. The way we know what's included in challah and what's not included in challah, we're going to present right now two drushas, which you must not understand these drushas and memorize them. I'm going to test you. Siv. I won't test you, but I'd like to test you. V'hayu ba'acholchem milechem ha'aretz tarimu tumah l'Hashem. So this is the pasuk that's, of course, of challah, that when you eat from the bread of the land, you will take truma, meaning challah. Challah is called truma, right? Yachol yehu kol ha-dvarim chayavim b'challah. You might think any kind of bread, any kind of grain, should be chayavim challah. Tam lama milechem. It says, v'hayav ha-chochem milechem hearts, from the bread, which means only some of the bread. Some breads are chayavim challah, some breads are not chayavim challah. What breads are chayav? Loi kol lechem. So, the Gemara says, so, im mi lechem below kol lechem, if you're going to dash in that pasuk, so, ein li ela chita musarim, I would only know wheat and barley. How are you going to know if it's one of the other three, the spelt, the, you know, whatever they were? How do you know? So, how did you know wheat and barley? Why did the Gemara assume wheat and barley were self-understood without any drasha? So there's two possibilities. Either because that's bread. Bread is always made out of wheat, flour.
That's from the base of Mikdash.
Generally speaking, bread is made from those ingredients, without any base of Mikdash. Just general the way it is. You know, we're talking about people taking challah from their bread. So that's one way of learning. The other way of learning is because it says in the pasuk that talks about Eretz Yisrael, Eretz Chita Usa Ora. So the Gemara understood Chita Usa Ora is like the standard grain, okay? How do you know the other grains? Kusman, Shibola, Shul, Vashipo, Minayin. How do you know the spelled oats and rye? Talmud Lama, Rashis, Ariso, Sechem. So it says the beginning of your doughs, okay? What was that pasuk? 11. Rashis, Ariso, Sechem. That's a pasuk also in Bamidbar, Tesvav. Chof, that's the next pasuk, right? Look on the side. Look at the two psukim. Hayav achalchem milechem haaretz tarim utruma l'Hashem. Pasuk 1. Then in next pasuk, reishis hariso sechem chala tarim utruma k'trumas goren k'en tarim u'osa. Just like you take truma from the goren, so you should take truma from your dose. Reishis hariso sechem. It doesn't say the word lechem there. It just says dough. Whatever makes dough, you know, anything. So that's how I know it's these other three are included. Okay, so let's make sure we understand this drasha very well. First drasha is a drasha which is from the word lechem. What's standard lechem? Chita usayra. I happen to know the other ones because it says ariso sechem, which is a riboy. Of course, the next question is going to be, so if it's riboy, maybe it's marva everything, even rice. So I was going to ask that question. But before we get to that question, just make sure you got the first drasha. is lechem and ariso sechem. That's how we know. What's considered bread?
This drasha is the source of the five
categories
that the Gemara said we learn. These five that apply. To
well, I know. I wouldn't say that. Let's just focus on challah for now. This is the source for the five for challah. Okay?
It's just interesting to me that we would need a separate drasha to tell us what bread is in challah versus a different place where we learn the five minim for matzah.
Okay, that's a fair question. What you're going to see when these drushes are going to come clear in just a second. Okay, so the Gemara says, "Variba hakol," right? It says, "Rishis ariso sechem riba." So that's we have a riba from ariso sechem. All. So the Gemara says, "Variba hakol." Let's include all grains. So why are you limiting to these five? So Rabbi Yosi. This will be known as the drush or Rabbi Yosi. Okay, this first one will be Rabbi Yosi's name. Rabbi Yosi Rishim, Rabbi Shimon Tani, Rabbi Shmuel Kane. Hold on a second. The Gemara doesn't answer that question. That question the Gemara doesn't even bother with. Let's be marba everything. So in the footnotes, it says that it doesn't even bother with it, right? It says 12. Is that 12? 13, sorry. 13. Second paragraph. The Gemara does not trouble itself to respond to this argument. Because the answer is obvious. Isn't it obvious what the answer is? Okay. The answer is there's a blatant difference between oats, spelt, and rye, and other grains like rice and millet. To wit, I don't know who's writing this footnote, that the former are subspecies of the primary grains, wheat and barley. That's the key word. They're subspecies. Okay, so what's it called? Spelts, oat, and rye are subspecies of wheat and barley. Whereas rice and, what was the other one? Rice.
Millet.
And millet. Thank you. Rice and millet are not subspecies of wheat and barley. They're totally different min. So therefore, the Gemara didn't even bother answering the question, didn't even bother responding to this question. So Ariso Sechem, right? So this is Rabbi Yosi's response. We have lechem, tells me what normal bread is, that's wheat and barley. Ariso sechem is a ribui, it tells me the additional three. And nothing else is included because those are the standard breads. That'll be Rabbi Yosi's answer. Now, we've got a list of different people here. It's actually a whole mess, exactly. The Mepharshim, they go back and forth, different ones say different pshatim over here. We're just going to learn the way the English presents it, which is that the Gemara is just simply listing a bunch of Tanoim or Amoraim who all agree with this approach, okay? And the only thing that we're going to change here is the word Reb Ze'era here in this list of people. The Gra erases Reb Ze'era, and it's going to become clear later why he does that. For now, just take my word for it. It's out of the list. Okay? So we have Reb Yosi B'Shem Reb Shimon saying Tani Reb Yishmol came, that he learned this drasha that we just quoted. And Rabbi Yoina, Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish, Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Shmuel, he also learned this way. Now we have a second tradition, which is going to be the second drasha that I mentioned to you. So you're going to remember this drasha as Rabbi Yosi's drasha, okay?
Yosi's drasha is only the extra three.
I want you to think of it as Rabbi Yosi's drasha for the whole thing.
For all five.
When we're going to refer to Rabbi Yosi now, moving forward, we're going to refer to Lechem, and Ariso Sechem, and that's it.
That teaches us the five.
It's a type of bread. Now, we have a second drasha now. Rabbi Monik says, I was also kissing. I went to Kesun Rishmas, I heard. What did he hear? Now we're on 1b. He heard Rabbi Achva, Rabbi Ze'era, Va'aba. That's the father of what's his name? Who's talking here? This is Reb Mona's father, okay. They used to say the following drush in the name of Rabbi Shmuel. Okay, everybody's calling Rabbi Shmuel, but they're quoting different traditions. This is another tradition. Nemra lechem bepesach. And this drusha, okay. I do believe that they refer to this one as Rabbi Yonah. I'm not positive. Let's see. So this is the drasha. Nemar lechem v'pesach v'nech lechem b'chala. He's going to have a gzeir shava here. How do I know what's considered grain? What's not? What's considered bread? What's not considered bread? Because I'm going to learn out from Pesach. It says lechem by matzah by Pesach. Ma lechem shenemar v'pesach davar shuba midei chatzav v'chametz has to be something that can become chametz. Af lechem shenemar b'chala davar shuba midei chatzav v'chametz has to be the same type of a grain. Uvodku umatzu, and they went ahead and they investigated, and what did they find? They did what we call a scientific experiment, a controlled experiment with all grains, and what did they find? They found she'en lochaboli dechamatzu v'chametz el chamishas haminu b'vad. The only ones that actually leaven are these five grains.
And yeah, number 7 goes into detail about that leavening process.
Ushor kol hadavarim. All other grains, they become spoilage. They are spoilage. Okay? So rice spoils. The Rambam has a very elaborate way of describing it. He says, and even if you made a bread and covered it with a towel and it blew up to be the size of a balloon, it doesn't, and it looks just like a big challah, it doesn't mean anything. That's not called chametz. That's called spoilage. Okay, it's very, 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 very descriptive over there in the Yad HaZokah. So again, so this drasha, this is the second drasha, and this is going to be, I don't know the name. We're going to refer to it later. This is the Gzeira Shava. This will be the Gzeira Shava of Lechem Lechem from Pesach. Okay, it's got a Yadavar.
It's not Rabbi
Shmuel. It is Rabbi Shmuel. They were saying it in the name of Rabbi Shmuel. Let's not worry about Rabbi Shmuel because they're arguing. I mean, Rabbi Shmuel probably said two things, right? He said two different drushes, right?
So number two,
the two traditions are essentially the same. The only difference being that in the first, Rabbi Yonah includes Rish Lakish in the chain, whereas in the second, he himself quotes the teachings from Rabbi Shmuel. So the second
one is Rabbi
Yonah. Okay. So Rabbi Yonah is going to be Lechem Lechem, Gzeira Shava. Rabbi Yossi is going to be Lechem and Ariso Sechem. It's going to be a type of a bread. Type of a bread that will become chametz. That will be the two. Okay. Now we've got that klar. Good. Now we're going to go further. Tani, Amar Rabbi Yochanan Manuri. He went ahead and said bread made of this fennel flour, whatever the heck that is. I don't know what it is, but it's whatever it
is. Fennel is a vegetable that looks like celery, but it tastes like licorice.
Well, this thing says that it has a seed which you could grind. You could grind those seeds, and it looks like a flour. That's what it says. And they would make it. They could make it. And he apparently held that was in addition to the five. There was a sixth one. Okay. He held it was a sixth one. This is who? This is Rabbi Yochanan Manuri. So
the same way a celery grows with this, the leaves on top, and they're pods of seeds by the leaves. You don't get them because they're clean before they get to you. Fennel grows the same way.
Same way?
And there's seeds, they're pods with seeds near the leaves.
Okay.
Top. It's just cleaned up before they sell it in the store.
They sell fennel in the store?
Sure.
Really? Oh, I never saw it.
And you look, it's sometimes it's referred to as fennel bulb because they cut off some of the top. They
the bulb. I gotta look next time. Rabbi Yochanan Manuri Amar. Now listen to this. This is a very interesting Amar. Bohi l'dei matzav chametz. Right? What are they arguing? Rabbi Yochanan Manuri held that it did become leaven. Rabbanan Amrin. In a bowl of day, matzah chametz. That's not true. It does not become chametz. So the Gemara asked the obvious question. Yivda kua. Check. Let's investigate it. Let's run our experiment. Okay, let's see. Why is this a theoretical dispute? So the Gemara says, al ikar b'dikusayim kolkim. They're arguing about the outcome of the investigation. This is so typical. He says they did conduct the experiment, and it was found to come to to chametz. And Rabbanan say, but the kovel matzah. Obviously, what's happening here is there was a certain result of these experiments, and the result they're arguing about what those results mean. So you may have an experiment with results, but you have to translate that those results mean. They're abundant held, it doesn't mean anything. And Rabbi Yaakov Nuri says it means something, right? This very, I don't know if you remember, but when Kimwa, how do you pronounce it? Kimwa, when Kimwa came out, there was a whole tumult about it for Pesach. Rav Heinemann went ahead and conducted a very lengthy experiment. And he taught and he published all his results. And he actually had that Kimwa soaking for weeks, and nothing happened. Zero. It was dead on arrival. And from that, Rav Heinemann clearly made a determination that Kimwa is not Bali de Chometz, and therefore it's Mutter. 100% Mutter. Okay, so we're done with that and this. Okay, next. I think that's on the Hebrew side. Let me just go to the Hebrew side for a second, because he has a footnote there, which is interesting. Number 13. Yeah, he writes the following. This is the Hebrew one. I don't know if it's in the English. It probably is. He writes, Ein efsharut livdok shuv es isa taketach. The rose ha'im magia hi lidei chimitz kamarai lav. He says it is not possible to now go ahead and conduct another experiment. In other words, why don't we conduct the experiment? Lefi sharak chachmei Yisrael hakadmonim shahayu chachamim gedolim ubikiyim biyoser. Only the original rabbis who were big chachamim and were big experts. That's what he says. Unbelievable, no?
Yeah.
Now I want to tell you, I did a little research over here on this state sofa, my sefer that I bought, and I haven't quoted it much, but I spent a lot of money on those forum. I want to quote it once in a while. Very interesting. He brings from the Shevet Levi. They were asking from Rosner, they were asked, what happens if, you know, we have a lot of science going on with seeds nowadays. Let's suppose scientists go ahead and develop some kind of a hybrid
fennel seed,
let's say, that can germinate, right? What would be the din? And it's very fascinating. He said, he quotes Rabbeinu Hananel in Psachim. I didn't know about this Rabbeinu Hananel, but it's a very interesting Rabbeinu Hananel. Rabbeinu Hananel says that whenever a Mishnah lists a list of items, like we have in our Mishnah, Chitas, or Shushan, and so on, a list in a Mishnah is Halacha Moshe Misinai. E efshar la zuzmi mena, o la hosif la grami mena. That is it. Doesn't matter what science does, doesn't matter what new discoveries are made.
If we develop a new min, it doesn't matter.
It doesn't make a difference. This is it. Very fascinating, and therefore he feels
because today they can slice
they can do anything nowadays. Who knows what they can create?
This way and that way, absolutely.
And he says not to worry about it. Very interesting.
They have white strawberries today. You know,
white strawberries.
White cherries too.
Now that's terrible. You could order a vanilla ice cream and it really is a strawberry ice cream. Now that is terrible.
Okay.
Isn't that a fascinating Rabbeinu Hananel?
Yes.
A list in a Mishnah.
I guess you get that from when we list all the kosher animals, you know, the split hooves and chewing its cud, we itemize.
Well, that's a pasuk the Torah. He's saying in the Mishnah. So. It's very interesting. Yeah. Okay. Next. Tamon Tninon. So we learned in a Mishnah over there. Where's over there? Yerushalmi and Trumas. Okay.
We learned it already.
I have trouble remembering. Tapuach, it's It always depresses me when I see stuff quoted about the stuff that we learned already, and I have no clue. It doesn't even ring a bell. Tapuach sherizko and the son of Lotok Isa. Let's suppose you have an apple that you grind up, and you put the apple into a dough. So, v'chimtza, and it made it into chametz. Harezu asur. So this apple was an apple which was truma, right? And the Isa was chulin. But the rule is, even though normally by truma we say it's bottle in 1 in 100, but over here, because it's being used as an accelerator, is that the word to use? An accelerator to cause it to rise, it would be usher even one in a thousand would be an answer. And it would be usher, therefore, to eat this lechem. In other words, for a zar. In other words, it would be mutter only to a kohen, right? Tani, Rabbi Yossi, I'm a mutter, and Rabbi Yossi disagrees. He says, no, it's mutter. So the Gemara says, Rabbi Acha, Rabbi Avu, B'Shem, Rabbi Yossi, B'Chanino. Ma'pligin, what are they arguing about? B'Mechametz, B'Meimov. We're talking about the juice of the crushed apple. Avu, B'Mechametz, B'Gufo, but if it's a crushed apple itself, the Rabbi called mutter, everybody holds it's mutter. In other words, the Gemara is saying right now that apple juice is the only thing that will actually cause it to ferment, but the apple itself will not. That's just a fact. It's not important. This fact is really not that important for our discussion. This is a qualification on where there's machlokas. Tanakama holds its osir. Rabbi Yossi holds its mutter. Okay? Rabbi Yossi kidate. And we see, Mar is now going to compare Rabbi Yossi in this place here by the apple to another place where Rabbi Yossi spoke about something which is going to sound completely different, but the Gemara is going to make a comparison. What does it say? Du'amar Tamon, he said regarding Shabbos, talking about the topic here is you have a hot water kettle, you boiled hot water and it was, you know, got very nice, right, nice and hot, and then you took the kettle off the fire, it's no longer on the fire, and then you put an egg next to the outside of that kettle, and it was hot enough to make the egg. You know, it cooked the egg a little bit, right? Got a little hard boil there, right? So, what's the din? So, ein tav shilo tav shel bar. It's not called cooking. That's Rabbi Yossi shita. The Chacham hold this asar, but Rabbi Yossi hold this mutter. I think it's machlokas. I think does he quote the machlokas in the bottom?
Well,
yeah.
There's an opinion that it's only by the sun.
Right, in 20, right? So our Gemara explains that the Sabbath prohibition applies only when one cooks directly on the fire, not when it's cooked with an object removed from the fire. Okay, so this is machlokas. Okay. So the Gemara is comparing that to the applesauce here, to the apple juice. This is unbelievable. So the same way Rabbi Yossi says that it's not considered real cooking over there, because it's not... because it's not on the fire. So the same way here, in chimutzo, chimutz bar, the leavening is not true leavening. It's not real fermenting. You know, just like over there, it's not real heat cooking. Here too, it's not real fermenting. It's not exactly...
Indirect. It's really indirect.
Yeah, it's a kind of funny comparison. Okay.
Because the usual way is just with water, and here, even though it does work, it's not the derech that we usually do it?
It sounds more like it's a metzias, not the process, but the results.
Yeah, I would say that also. In number 21, in the third line, fourth line, his reasoning regarding leavening is similar to his reasoning regarding cooking. Since leavening, like the cooking, is incomplete, it's not included in the prohibition. It's like it doesn't reach the status of becoming chametz. That's what he holds. Okay, next. Kamodat Omar in Luchaboli de Matzav Chametz and Luchamisha Samina Bavad. The Kava say, and Luchamagarim Kulon Luchitim and Sairim Bavad. So now the Gemara is going to talk about another rule, and that is the rule of Greira. The Gemara is going to say later on, in later parak, the Mishnah is going to say, if I have wheat and rice mixed together in a flour, then you could be yotze, it's chayav hakala, and you could be yotze matzah on Pesach with it, because even though rice by itself can't rise, but if it's together with the wheat, the wheat causes the wheat schleps along the rice in the leavening process, so to speak, somehow or other, scientifically they're linked. So it's, let's learn it that way.
A kezias of lechem.
That's correct.
Even though it's half.
Even though it's let's make it rove. Let's keep it at rove. Okay.
Wheat is rove.
And rice is a miut, and it gets schlepped along with the wheat. That's called, we'll call it grayra for now.
The time being. What does the word
grayra mean? It means to drag it along. You know, when you drag a chair.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
When you drag a chair, that's one of the cases of Dov Shem's covet. So over here, in other words, even though we have other grains listed in the Mishnah, but when it comes to this din of grayra, then only wheat and barley, none of the others, okay?
The subcategories, the subspecies.
Right.
It's because it doesn't have the capacity?
So on page 1b3, he talks about it at length. You want to know why? Okay, so the reasoning behind this ruling, you see that paragraph? Second paragraph, first column. So the reasoning depends on why the halal obligation is limited to the five species.
No, no, so that's not true. You said it was only the two, not the five.
Hold on a second. What I just said before, is in the previous paragraph. Go back to the previous paragraph, on the previous page. The ability of wheat and barley to drag other grains into being regarded as bread is subject. He doesn't say it over here.
Second column, second paragraph. The Mishnah states
its rulings only with respect to wheat. There it is. You got it.
Right. The Gemara teaches that barley too possesses the ability to drag it along, since we borrow with primary grains. It stands to reason that both are able to cause other grains to be regarded as bread. Other three grains in the Mishnah are not capable of causing other grains.
Are not. That's the key word, not. Right? So that's where I got it from. Okay? It's not common to mix these species with other types of flour. That might be the reason, or because they don't have the capacity to generate leavening and non-leavening grains. Okay, I'm going to leave it like that. If you want to see more details into why, you could read the whole bottom over there. Okay, let's go on. Reb Hila, we're on page now 2. Let's shut the recording for a second.